Yeah, g'day, mate. You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
And cool, we are joined here by local artist Hannah Joint. Funny, joined and joint. I mean, look at that. I bet no one's ever made that joke before.
You make some good jokes about my name.
Tell me one I haven't heard before.
Bet you can't.
Bet I can't, hey. So we're joined here with you, of course, talking about your latest gallery, latest exhibition and show called Rehoming Lobsters, and it's currently at Olga. Yes,
Sure, listeners.
Did they give you a prompt or much direction, or was it pretty, like, up to you, free flow, free creativity?
No prompts. I tend to just go and see the Justin, the dealer there, and go, hey, this is what I'm doing, and he says, okay. The work that's there, the seven small A4-size paintings, they're an ongoing, it's like an ongoing inquiry of mine into notions of absurdity, which I'm really interested in. And my question is, how do I give visual form to absurd things or the experience of absurdity, which is often something that happens in a moment. It's an encounter, maybe. And when I'm making those works, I usually start with an image or a fragment or just a person or a thing. And from there, I sort of construct the background and the rest of the image around it. So very much I make the work quite slowly. It is oil paint, so it takes a long time to dry. So if I've painted white, for example, usually have to wait about a week before I can touch the work again.
Oh my God.
Because if I touch it, I'm going to get it all over my hands. I'm going to smush that paint on my hands into my clothes.
The actual
material is a slow medium, and in that slowness, there's contemplation. There's chance for other things in life, because I don't try too hard to construct my images. I let the content come to me, you know, just doing life as normal. And that's part of absurdity too, like the absurd that is embedded in the everyday. It's everywhere. You just have to kind of, once you start to tune into sort of these strange things that cross your path, you start seeing them all the time. And for me, that's just, they're like clues. And I kind of grab them and I photograph them or I collect them. And
For the title piece in this exhibit, the girl crossing the kind of like mud bridge with holding two deoxygenated lobsters, and either side of her are just like mountains of shoes. What was the mental image or like snapshot in your mind that you're working off from that?
Great example. So initially, that image began with the figure, which is a friend of mine, Holly. And I think I took the photo of her crossing the wee bridge. It's actually Tomahawk Beach. There's a kind of like a nasty little trickle that you have to kind of cross over, like a perma pond that's always there. Anyway, I think it was during lockdown and we sort of snuck out and went for a sneaky walk along the beach together. Definitely breaking bubble naughtiness. I was like, oh, this is really beautiful. Holly was wearing this amazing coat. She'd taken off her shoes to walk across the bridge, and I took this photo, and I thought, oh, I want to use that image. I want to use that image of this because the colour was fantastic, and it was, yeah, there's something whimsical about the image. And then so I started painting her, and I was like, oh, she's not going to be carrying shoes, because at the time I was then painting this, contexts have changed, disasters have changed. It was now Cyclone Gabrielle, and I was watching all that footage of the coda in the East Coast dying, and people were trying to save them because the coda were. So it was kind of like a little, just, I don't know, just bringing that, what was happening at the time, into my painting practice and responding to that through painting. So she's carrying the lobsters in an attempt to save them from drowning in shoes. And the shoes is just kind of more of a play, because she was, in her original image, she was holding her shoes to cross the bridge, and I was like, well, we'll just switch that out. Just a wee switcheroo there.
Wee switcheroo.
Which is something that I do all the time. I do a switcheroo to kind of create absurdity on purpose. Kind of a thing.
It's interesting you touch on the lobsters or the coda. Coda was the name.
Yeah.
Because I feel like throughout the exhibit, I was getting themes of consumerism, escapism, and kind of ecological collapse. I mean, it wasn't explicitly shown, but all the environments were pretty artificial from all the different paintings. I mean, and everyone was also wearing like VR headsets and sunglasses. No one was looking directly at you. Everyone's either got their back to you, wearing something on their head, or there's that one dude who's like looking down with all the different fruit. Am I on the money here with this kind of theme of consumerism and escapism?
I really love that you interpreted that. That's great. I mean, I wasn't thinking consumerism directly. I was, I said about how I construct an image, and it always starts with one thing and then I build a picture around it. I think I approach that. It does come from more from like trying to investigate ideas of the absurd. And of course, I think that consumerism comes into that, because how can it not?
Yeah,
because here we are in a, because they are contemporary responses to my experiences of everything. But I think, you know, I try and I push that juxtaposition. I deliberately place things like the casual weekend away, the guy who's carrying all that stuff. I met this guy, he's wonderful. I met him in a forest,
which is bags and bags of stuff. Oh my god.
So I exaggerated and I pushed that juxtaposition way, way further. Mm-hmm. And I do that in everything. I think too, like, as a part of that process of painting and doing, making these images, I try to cast myself into that place of I'm an alien observing, looking down on Earth.
Or like an ant, like humans as ants.
And I kind of do that quite easily these days, and I just try and... It's when you remove yourself from a context and you look down kind of free of context, and what do you see? That's a little dangerous. You've got to be careful that in my response, I don't... I've got to be aware of my own context and things like that. So it's about... getting things, maybe missing things or seeing things differently, and that offers a different kind of structure of reality, if you like. Don't want to go too far into potential conspiracy.
It
is kind of questioning that. There's a different way of being, a different way of existing in the world, and when you encounter the guy with all the stuff in this sort of picturesque environment, you go, what?
And what it are
just
you doing?
Kind of
yeah.
comes, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That's what drives it. And then it's funny you mentioned sunglasses, because I was like, did I paint sunglasses on people? I couldn't remember, because I've painted sunglasses on people for so many years. And it's actually become a motif. It's a repeated motif in my work and in my practice. And I wasn't even thinking sunglasses, but what's happened in this particular show is there's been a lot of motifs emerge, and some of those motifs are the plastic furniture, really cheap green
garbage,
and white plastic chairs. Classic. I mean, they're this universal object. They're in every country. They're cheap. They get discarded, but they don't get thrown away because they're still useful. And I like that kind of like contradiction. Here's a utilitarian object. It's so horrible, but it's so useful.
Yeah.
We don't want to see it, but we want to use it. There's all these things that are kind of going on in that object, so it's become a bit of a motif and a repeated symbol that I like for me, along with, like road cones are another thing that I just, I'm interested in the cone as an object of absurdity because of the way that, you know, it's there in the sea.
Yeah.
I love photographing the cones that turn up in Orfeor, you know, every time, and the way that they move around. I photograph and document the cones and the trolleys that end up in there.
Yeah, I remember seeing a bit of a sad picture of a polar bear with a cone on its head. It's like, they're everywhere. They are just everywhere. What is that doing in the Arctic? Now, speaking of motifs, I'd say that you have an uncanny ability to implement what I'd call like alternative Kiwiana symbols. I'm not talking about a buzzy bee and a steak, whatever. case in point, I think the classic like ornate metal chair that's in the background of Rehoming Lobsters is something that's very familiar to me as like a childhood object, because my grandparents, both on both sides of my family, had those like metal chairs. the like outdoor furniture type chairs.
Yeah.
You know, they're kind of real ornate ones.
Yeah.
I think that is a classic example. The carbon copy, like New Zealand town backdrops, like the sports ground, and you're painting no parking and no parkour as well. And like classic scenes, like the mattress on top of the car and self-contained. Why do you think this kind of subject matter appeals to you?
I think... love that question, and perfectly followed the previous question. I think because it's just so unglamorous, and perhaps it's a chip on my shoulder, but in painting, maybe especially in painting, in the popularist kind of thing, forgive me for like lack of good words, idealizing form, idealizing things, making things in a way that strips away the things that are just idealized and glamorized, and then painting that as this form. I'm so interested in the opposite of that, which is, you know, the grunge or the, what did I call it, detritus, urban lint. It's the stuff that accumulates in places, and it's unwanted, and I'm attracted to that. I'm attracted to what that symbolizes and what that means, because it's ick, and I want to paint the things that there's an abjectness to it that just feels a bit punk, but it's not really. I mean, it's pretty tame, but I can't claim to be a punk, but I kind of, it feels rebellious in my own way to paint this unwanted junk, and to paint it in a way with a lot of bright colour, and to bring it into that context of fine art, that fascinates me. It's a it's
another,
a contradiction.
Another level of absurdity.
Exactly. Yeah. These are kind of becoming the language of my absurd inquiry. Yeah, they're kind of like, yeah, part of the visual language of that, I think. Yeah.
Now we're gonna drift into a different kind of topic area.
Yeah.
You're a teacher at the School of Design over the Polytech. In 2021, Professor Jane Venice from the College of Art, Design and Architecture at the Otago Polytech said that she's witnessed your teaching and artistic practice develop in tandem over time. How would you characterize the way your teaching has influenced the artistic practice which informs rehoming lobsters, like in the last 3 years, from 2021 to 2024? How have those two things kind of bled together to make this?
Oh, good question. Well, firstly, I love teaching. It's really wonderful. I love learning about my students, and they teach me so much. And I share my practice with them all the time. I talk about my practice because they talk about their practice, and it's only fair. I ask them to be really courageous. You know, I ask them every day to have courage to speak up in class. If that's something they're terrified about, I'm like, well, you need to do that. If you are scared of drawing or making that mark or showing your drawing to other people, you need to be courageous and do it. So I have to be courageous. So I have to make the work that I think, ooh, will people appreciate this work? Will people buy this work? Will people like this work? And if I have that fear, then good, because that's exactly what I need to do. So it's kind of like, without wanting to be too stereotypical, you know, freaking walk the talk.
Yeah, totally.
You know, so I ask them to be courageous, and therefore I have to be courageous too. And I think it's about that ako. It's about I learn and they learn. I teach and they teach me. It's that reciprocity thing, you know. That's so important to me.
Totally.
And I think it always it gives me a lot of energy. Even though teaching is very much about giving energy out, you have to find ways to make it bounce back. And I think, I mean, part of that is just meeting people where they are and connecting with them. And I do that every day, you know, like in the classroom. And it's part of my teaching philosophy. Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's really lovely.
Isn't it?
I've always found that, you know, the best teachers I've ever had at school were the ones who actually were a bit more open-minded, like yourself. So that's really cool. And lastly, while I have you here, what does the rest of your 2024 art calendar look like?
Oh, art calendar.
Yeah.
Lots of things, because I actually spread my practice quite broadly. I'm going to see Dr. Jane Venice. Hello, Jane. I know you're listening. I'm going to go and hang out with her for a week and help her to create some work
Wow.
For her upcoming show that's in Ashburton. all around musical instruments that she makes using, she is making using PowerShell, which is a really exciting show. So I'm going to help probably with some video work there. Mm-hmm. I do, sometimes I do, I've got a couple of commissions that I'm working on. New work is happening at a rapid rate because the work in Rehoming Losters, I actually finished that work back in February, end of February, and so it's just kind of been sitting there, and I have moved on.
Yeah,
and
you got to rehome these paintings.
Yeah, I know. And so I'm in that kind of really exciting phase of developing new work. I draw a lot, I collage a lot, and yeah, I'm sort of heading towards like looking at marathon running as a subject matter and as a site, as a practice of absurdity, because it, you know, there's just so much in there that's really interesting to me.
Yeah.
The spectators, I mean, oh, what a subject. Making pictures of spectators, making pictures of performers, and I kind of have this idea that a marathon is performed. There's a performance to it, especially in a contemporary one where there's always people that want to do it in fancy dress. Like, where's the line between?
Yeah.
And so anyway, that's quite exciting to me. So I'm just very much in the sketching out new ideas. I do illustration work sometimes for sports events. I'm a disc golfer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cracker.
I'm a very, very keen disc golfer, so cool. I kind of bring my art practice to that, and I'm making some graphics for some tournaments, which is really fun. It's always mad, mm-hmm. and lucky them. I just kind of I give that to for free for, you know.
Yeah.
As a cool half for that. Always busy. And also what's really exciting is we at the art school, we're developing a whole new program to be delivered in semester two, which is called the Certificate in Creativity. It's only 17 weeks long, mm-hmm. and so lots of work going in there, lots of creative energy going in there, and I'm helping to run that. So, yeah. It's just so much stuff going on.
A lot on your plate, a very full plate.
Always.
Yeah,
always. But that's good because, you know, the more you have, like, the more stuff that can kind of come together and generate interesting work and ideas, and that's just how it goes, I think. You just
totally.
Gotta roll with it.
Totally. Well, that's amazing. I can't wait to see what you do for the rest of the year, man.
Yeah.
We'll get you on again sometime.
Yeah, I'd love to. So
yeah.
good.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for your time this morning.
All right.
Yeah, hell yeah. That was local artist Hannah Joint joining us to talk about Rehoming Lobsters, which you can go see at Olga. It's a great wee art gallery up in Moray Place. Alrighty, it's currently 11.
Yeah, now, Siebs, that was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.